Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Tonight, your hosts are Jerry, Jerry Thomas.
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York. I put you in Boston, and then I put you in Baltimore, Jerry. So you must be ready to travel.
Yeah.
But Jerry is from Brooklyn, New York, and he and I will be co-hosting the show tonight. And I'm Henrietta Bird, and we are so glad to be with you tonight. I am live from Huntsville, Alabama, and actually broadcasting from the home of Dr. Enumvelli, who's one of the wonderful professors at Alabama A&M University. And I'll get back to that in a few minutes. But
We're not on the air yet. We're going to go on the air in a second.
We're on the air.
Go ahead.
Hey, Glenn. That's Glenn who joined us from, he might be in Boston, he might be in New York. I'm not sure. We are everywhere these days. But thank you, Glenn, for joining us. As always, we always begin our talk show with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And we'd like for you to listen closely, as we always ask, and thank you for making the time adjustment, and listen closely and see where you find yourself in the declaration of the International Black Summit. That declaration of the International Black Summit, we declare ourselves, our communities, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, establishing nurturing relationships, providing human services, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Huntsville, Alabama, April 23rd, 2012. Above, below, north, south, east, and west. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I am in Huntsville, Alabama. Glenn, where are you located right now?
I'm in Jamaica, Queens.
Jamaica, Queens, New York. Jerry, where are you?
Brooklyn, New York, DK.
Brooklyn, New York. Jill is somewhere between Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, Georgia. So she won't be on because she's actually flying at this time. She just completed a week in New Hampshire, Providence, Rhode Island. And then she left there and went to D.C. We are on our way tomorrow to Memphis, Tennessee. So this has been a week of summit shares everywhere. And Huntsville, Alabama is ready for the International Black Summit in Birmingham, Alabama. And as we all know, that's August 2nd through the 5th. And be prepared. Just go to blacksummit.org and register for the summit. That's all you need to do. Go to blacksummit.org and just register for the International Black Summit. We are doing, like, summit shares everywhere. And we're doing summit shares everywhere so that people can be ready to take the prerequisite course. And in the month of May, there are prerequisites in New Orleans, in Atlanta, in New York, in Huntsville, Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama, and many other places. So check the website so that you can see where the prerequisites are in your area. So with that said, there's always we always have an update for you on what's going on in the news. So, Jerry, can you give us an update, please?
Well, yes. And so far, throughout the month of April, I've been bringing reports about the Trayvon Martin case that the young man has shot. He got shot on February 26th of this year. And the latest goes like this. Stanford, Florida, brothers and sisters. At the hearings, that legal experts say exposed flaws in the state case in the Trayvon Martin special prosecutor failed Friday to convince the judge that gunman George Zimmerman should stay locked up. The judge set a bond at $150,000, meaning Zimmerman could be free from Seminole County Jail in a few days. Now, one point I want to make before I continue, that's still pending. So, we have to wait for that in a few days. All right. Also, I'm going to say most of you in this hearing thought was testimony by prosecuting investigator Dale Garbrandt, a surprise witness for the defense. He admitted under oath that authorities did not know who started the fight between Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer, and Martin, the black 17-year-old whose death has spurred protests around the country. Lawyers for Trayvon Martin family have insisted that Zimmerman tracked down and killed the Miami Garden teenager because he was black. But Zimmerman told police he fired in self-defense after Trayvon threw the first punch, knocking Zimmerman to the ground, and then began pounding his head against the sidewalk. In the courtroom, Garbrandt also testified that although the FBI has analyzed the voice, heard screaming from help in the background of a 911 call, it has produced no meaningful results. Trayvon family says the voice is that of their son. Zimmerman family says it belongs to the defendant. Michael Greco, a defense attorney and former prosecutor for the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office, said it appeared Gilbreth either was unprepared, alternatively, did not have a whole lot of hang on in terms of evidence. I expect a lot more from the state, Greco said. Do others have cautioned that significant evidence is still forthcoming? And that point, again, that's still pending for next week. Greco said he's not so sure. but don't usually hold back your evidence in these types of hearings. You're going to turn over to the defense anyway, says Greco said. Greco said, if there's some smoking guns, they usually are willing to show up. Show it. Zinnemann looked calmly and confident with a baggy blue suit, did something stunning late in the hearing, and took a stand and apologized to Trayvon Martin's family. I wanted to say I'm sorry for the loss of your son. I did not know how old he was. I thought he was a little bit younger than I am. And I did not know he was armed or not. During this very limited course of evidence persecution, Bernie de la Raya tried to rally him and ask him why he waited for so long to apologize. Zinnemann said that his previous lawyers advised him to keep silent. And the last of it, please. The last of it is Bentley Jackson, a lawyer for Trayvon Martin family, later denounced the apology, described as distinguished and insincere. And my point is tonight that, brothers and sisters, that let's not jump to any inclinations or whatever it is, but state the facts what it is. And us as Africans, especially as us African Americans in this country, we have to keep the pressure up. All right? We have to keep the pressure because in a few days, he might be bailed out. And this is the time that we have to unite as a people. Let's start the dialogue, stop killing each other. But at the same time, let's also start the dialogue about protecting our kids, protecting each other. And that's my point. That's my point for tonight. JT MVP Thomas. I will have more next Sunday. Watch out. Stay tuned. Back at you, Hemia.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much. Well, we'll be waiting for the update, Jerry, and listening closely to things as they unfold in the Trayvon Martin case. So tonight, let's move into a more exciting news, I'll say, something more uplifting. In the Declaration of the International Black Summit, there's an assertion that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. And that being said, I would like to introduce you to a young lady or two that have done just that. Voices International is a nonprofit group. You hear me talk about this group all the time. It is one of my favorites and one that is very dear to my heart. And this nonprofit organization consists of a group of young professionals. And they're probably laughing when I say young because they're over 25. But anyway, a group of young professionals in the city of Chicago who were in a book club and decided that they wanted to give back to their community after reading a particular book. But I'll let them tell the story. And they created Voices International, and they began mentoring young girls from the Inglewood community in Chicago. And the girls at the time were in sixth grade, and they mentored the girls and are still mentoring them. And this June, the girls will be graduating from high school and entering college in August. So we are acknowledging Voices International for unpredictable results and generating community as possibility for these young ladies. So the president of Voices is on with us, and she will introduce any other board member. And I'd like for everyone to meet Renee Rodney. Renee, how are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for that very kind and thoughtful introduction. I'm Renee Rodney, and I am the president of Voices International. We may have our other founding board member on the line, Linda Ajode. I'm not. She said she would call in, but she may be joining us later. She's not on right now. But
an 847 number.
The 646 number, yes.
No, it's her number, 847.
Yes, it is.
So she's on. Hold on 1 minute. Let me just turn on the mic. Okay, thank you.
Yes, hi. This is Linda. I'm with Renee. I'm one of the founding members of Voices International. I wanted to let you know that I'm also on.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Renee?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Did you want me to talk about our inception?
Yes, I would like
okay.
you to.
How we got started. Okay.
Yes. And tell me also a little bit about Linda and a little bit about yourself or you know, however the two of you would like to do it.
Okay. Well, like you said, we started off as a book club in 2003. The fall of 2003, we started off as a book club. And we had been going for a couple of years when in the winter of 2005, we were reading a book called Quitting America by Randall Robinson, who some may be familiar with, is prominent in the reparations movement. And Mr. Robinson written this book about how he was, in short, fed up with American culture, politics, policies, et cetera, and he decided to immigrate to his wife's home country of St. Kitts in the Caribbean. So I admittedly did not read the entire book because, with you know, no disrespect to Mr. Robinson, but it was a bit of a rant, and I personally couldn't get into it. And so we were talking about this book at this particular book club meeting. You know, some of the issues he raised, which just led to general conversations about the issues facing communities of color here in Chicago. And, I won't take credit for this, but someone in the group said, you know, we should stop talking about this and do something about it. And someone else chimed in and said, let's start a nonprofit. And again, I will admit I was silent in doing that. But, you know, the idea generated some excitement. And, you know, by the next meeting, I mean, we were talking about names, missions, focus. And that was perhaps in February or March of 2005. And we were incorporated as Voices International by July 2005 and starting our first program with a mentoring focus with a school in Inglewood, a neighborhood in Chicago, by September of 2005. So it all moved very quickly, and we were received our nonprofit status by December of that year. Now, looking back, it seems amazing how quickly we moved just kind of with this vision, and everyone was on board. I think kind of when you go into certain things, not knowing all that it takes, that's kind of helpful because you have no doubts to really hold you back. And we just forced ahead. That was in 2005, and here we are in 2012. Three of our original girls are still with us, and we've brought on some new girls. And they'll all be graduating in May and June from high school and going on to higher education. So we're very excited about that.
No, I know. That's really exciting. Tell us a little bit about the Inglewood community so the listeners will really understand the importance of what's going on.
Well, Englewood is on the south side of Chicago, predominantly black community, one of the most economically depressed communities in Chicago, facing a lot of challenges in terms of poverty, gang violence, and some struggling schools. It, for those not from the Chicago area, you may be familiar with Englewood if you follow sports, because Derrick Rose, the NBA star from the Chicago Bulls, is from Englewood. We centered on the Englewood community based on a connection I had with one of the schools where our girls came from. My mother was actually I just retired as the assistant principal from Oliver Wendell Holmes School. And so we had a pre-existing relationship with that school, and it was in a community that was underserved. So that's how we chose Englewood and chose the school for the girls we decided to mentor.
Okay. And so Linda?
Yes. Yes, can you hear me? This is Linda.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, great.
But no, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Sure.
Sure
thing. And just to add in a little bit about what Renee was talking about, one of the reasons why we landed on the name Voices International is because a few of the members, while we're all African-American, some of us are from outside of the United States. And so while that brings us from different walks of life and from different areas of the globe, we do have the common denominator, which is socialism. We want to really be able to make that social change and be able to impact communities. And so for us, it was, regardless of where we were from, the fact that we lived in Chicago and we were very close to this community and felt that Englewood, you know, we could definitely make an impact in this community, that was where we were coming from. And so reaching out to the girls, one of the things we tried to do was each mentor at that time, even though we were all board members, was align yourself with one mentee and really make that impact with them. And one of the things we wanted to do was make sure that we, like Renee said, we're going to be able to stay with them up until the entrance into college, because we felt like education was something that folks you were not going to be able to take that away from anybody as long as you had that education. We really wanted to be able to impact them from that standpoint. So while education was a pillar for Voices, we wanted to also impact them through our experiences as young women having gone through high school and the challenges. We wanted to be able to make to impart that knowledge to them and really affect them from that standpoint. One thing we did realize was a lot of the girls did come from single family, single parent households, and so that was another really startling fact for us, and we really wanted to be able to be that other voice in the home. And it was great to see the parents really being able to partner with us in helping the girls.
Great. That's great. So you said that some of the board members are not from the United States. Where are the other board members from?
Sure. So I'm from Kenya originally, which is on the east coast of Africa, and we have another Kenyan board member. And then one of the original members, she's still an honorary board member, she's from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And then we have another member who's from Ghana. So like I said, so the common bond is that we're all African, we're all, you know, African-American, we all reside in the United States, but we're not all originating from the Chicago area or from the United States.
Great. Well, thank you so much. The International Black Summit, we have people from Kenya. And, I don't know if we have anybody from Congo, but Glenn will let us know that. It's an international organization. And as I said before, Dr. Annabelle, where are you from?
Ooh.
As I said earlier, I'm broadcasting from the home of Dr. Annabelle, who's one of the professors at Alabama A&M University, and he's from Congo. So he's just graciously opened up his home and his computer. So I just thought I'd throw that in right there. But
that's great.
One of the things that that is really important that I just like for people to know is the chance or the chance of these girls graduating from high school, coming from the community that they came from or that they come from is, you know, the statistics were not in their favor, you know, for them graduating, number one, from high school and for them graduating and not being parents when they graduated. And so one of the, two of the acknowledgments is that I have for Voices International is that you've nurtured these young ladies to the degree that they understand education comes first. And, you know, they know so much about being young ladies. You know, they were girls when you first took on this project, and they are truly young ladies now. When I talked to, I guess the last time I saw the young ladies was maybe a year or two ago, and they were doing all kinds of, not internships, but they had like summer programs that they had participated in and different things that, you know, just the other people in their communities, didn't have access to. Could you tell us about some of the things that the girls have been a part of?
Sure. I mean, the group of girls we're working with, they are so impressive. Voices definitely likes to think that we played a part in that, but, I mean, they should take the majority of the credit. You know, we've opened some doors and pointed them in the direction, but, you know, they've taken the initiative, and it's, you know, them that they have to show up and take advantage of these opportunities, and they've done that. One of our mentees who's, you know, been in the program from the beginning, Lakeisha, she had an opportunity to take advantage of a program at the University of University of Southern California, 2 years in a row. So the past two summers, the summer after her sophomore year and after her junior year, and it's a month-long program where she's living on campus, meeting students from other parts of the country, taking classes in art, film, and photography, and, you know, creating networks. So, you know, not even in college yet, but taking advantage of these programs sponsored by a college, creating these new networks. And, you know, Voices, we supported her in that by helping her with some of the expenses she had to incur as part of the program. One of our other mentees who's also been with us from the beginning, Michelle, she took advantage of a science and nature program last summer. And, you know, she always expressed interest in veterinary sciences. And, you know, since she started in the program when she was in sixth grade, and she's really followed that and taking advantage of programs where they present themselves. Another one of our mentees, Victoria, she was one of the finalists for the Posse Scholarship through the city of Chicago. She did not receive the scholarship, but if you know anyone going through that, it's a rigorous process with many levels, made it all the way to the finalist round, and we've learned that she's been offered scholarships to all of the colleges that she's been accepted into. So the sky is really the limit for her. But, you know, all of our girls have been very impressive in various facets. Either they've taken on an after-school job to help support their family, you know, in addition to their regular coursework, or they're finding these summer programs to help enrich them in a particular subject area. And, you know, we're we're just so proud, because to follow them, even for the girls who haven't been in the program for 7 years or maybe just for a couple of years, just to see how they've grown and developed. I'm not a parent, but I kind of feel like one at times with these girls. So it's just been extremely, extremely rewarding. And the rewards outweigh, you know, any challenges that come with running a nonprofit. So I'm, you know, although I was not the one at that original meeting who said, let's start a nonprofit, I'm so glad I was there and I was part of this group of women, and, you know, took that journey with them. And, you know, we're working with a small group of girls, but I think we've helped make a really big difference that it's going to impact not only their lives, but the people they come into contact with as they go forward.
Great. That's great. Linda, do you would like to add to that?
No, Renee, really so beautifully, but yeah, I think just being able to see our girls, just to add in a little bit, just to see our girls be able to, you know, graduate from, you know, just being in the fifth grade and seeing them and just being able to see even their parents, just really having that pride in them and definitely seeing their dreams realized is definitely, like Renee said, we feel like we're their parents too, and so we share with them in their success, and we wish them nothing but the best as they go into college. And one of the things that we've done is we will definitely keep in touch with them, and I know that they also want to pay it forward, and so our hope is that, you know, if we do come back to the Chicago area, that hopefully they'll be able to continue the Voices mission that we've laid out for them, and so they can pay it forward to others.
That's great. What are some of the schools that the girls will be attending this fall?
Well, we just received their Voices scholarship applications, and they've listed out the schools that they've been accepted into. I'm not certain that any of our girls have made their final decision yet, but I can give you some of the names of the schools that they've been accepted into. Illinois State University, DePaul University, North Park, where else? I don't want to get the names wrong. I'm going to get my list right now. But mostly schools in the Illinois area. But I'm going to pull up the list so I can be accurate. Okay, Iowa Wesleyan, Robert Morris, Southern Illinois University, St. Xavier University, Northern Illinois University, Iowa University. Those are the schools that our mentee, Michelle, was accepted into. University of Iowa, Bradley University, and DePaul in Illinois. I mentioned those already. Those are the schools that our mentee Janine is accepted into. And pulling out some more packets. Lewis University, University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, Dillard University, Purdue University, Calumet, Monmouth College, North Central College, Benedict College, Ball State. So I'm just getting impressed all over again, just reading through the names. And let me go through one more. Augustana, St. Ambrose, Dominican, St. Xavier. So, you know, these are several schools that the girls have been accepted into. It just gives them, you know, even greater opportunity and more choices. And I think that's, you know, one of the best things about their achievements. You know, it's not just one school, you know, the only school they can get into, but these girls have options. They're weighing options. They have scholarship money. So they've really done a lot.
That's really, really great. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are interviewing two of the board members from Voices International, a nonprofit organization that is all about community. You know, our focus this month is on people who are doing things in the community. And in the declaration of the International Black Summit, we assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. And so Voices International, we salute this organization today. It's also another part of the declaration that comes to mind, and it says, we listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. And these are unpredictable results that we're listening to. So, Linda and Renee, I would just like to acknowledge you again and again and again and again. And thank you so much for your contribution to the universe. I'm going to go to some of our callers to see if they have questions for you right now. And as always, we always start with the talk show host to see if we have questions. So, Jerry, do you have any questions for Linda or Renee or Glenn? And, Glenn, your mic is on.
Yes, this is Glenn Greenwich. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your program, because I just took a look at LinkedIn, and I see your program consists of monthly cultural, educational, and professional events, community service initiatives, and youth-led programming, tutoring, and life skill sessions, and international awareness activities. So I'd just like to hear a little bit more about some of those things, because that sounds great.
Sure. Our programming has, each year, we have a different theme or focus. And when we started with the girls, they were in sixth grade, and our theme develops out of the needs that we've, you know, noticed from the prior year. So going in, we were following more of a one-on-one mentoring model where we were each paired up with one girl, and every month we would take them on an activity geared toward a certain thing, such as exploring your city, physical fitness, Black History Month. And then every 3 months, we would all come together as a group and do a group activity. So that first year, we stressed the one-on-one. We wanted to get to know each other. We wanted to expand the girls' horizons. We wanted to learn from them. And as we moved on from that year, we noticed certain things we wanted to focus on a bit more. We had a year where we focused on the different pillars of character, where each of the girls we started to get them more involved with the programming. They chose a topic, and then they presented to the group on that topic. Then we got feedback from the girls 1 year that they wanted to focus on issues of anger and violence in their communities, because that's something that they were confronting on a daily, regular basis. So we, you know, brought in speakers and counselors to handle that. They also led certain programs. When they transitioned into high school, we really wanted to start focusing on preparing for college, which was really been the core of our programming for the past 2 years. So once they became juniors, we sponsored an ACT class that they took every Saturday during the fall semester at University of Illinois at Chicago. So after they completed that ACT class, then we had courses in the spring semester focusing on writing the college essay, putting together your financial aid package, choosing the right college for you. And we had them put together an academic portfolio with their academic resume, the list of schools they're applying for, and an essay as to why they chose those schools. And as they transition into their senior year, which is the year they're in now, we were focusing solely in the fall semester on the college essay. We had a tutor come in and meet with the girls for 2 months, once a week, where they each have one-on-one interaction with this tutor on perfecting their college essay. And then this spring semester, which we just ended last week, we wanted to focus on different social issues that they would confront while in college, relationships. We brought in some college students for, you know, living on campus versus living off campus. The girls got to ask very candid questions of women who were closer in age and actually going through the college experience. The international experience while you're at college, meeting international students, interacting with them, also taking advantage of international opportunities, and issues of, you know, very real issues of dating violence and, you know, how to deal with and handle those. So that, those are some of the topics from the semester that just ended. When you were reading from our blurb, you also mentioned a community service. Each year we would do a community service event with the girls so they could understand the importance of engaging their communities, giving back, engaging in communities they weren't familiar with and recognizing that need. So that's something we also thought was very important. So that's just kind of a quick synopsis of our programming. We pride ourselves in our programming because it directly meets the needs of the girls. It has a particular theme, and it reflects, you know, things that they're going through at that moment and things that they want to do, and we also get them involved in implementing the program as well.
Well, all I can say is, wow. What I would like to ask you and let our listeners know, how can we support you in expanding and fundraising and or, you know, being able to accommodate more of these young women in these great programs?
Well, thank you for asking that question. Our fundraising goal for the past couple years has been for scholarship money for the girls to help provide partial scholarships toward their next step in going to college. We are also, so anyone who might be interested in contributing to that effort, you can go to our website, www.usingourvoices.org, and contribute online if you so choose. If you're more comfortable with the mail, our P.O. Box information is on the website, but we're Voices International Incorporated, P.O. Box 1745, Chicago, Illinois, 60690-1745. So if you're interested in any individual contributions, which we'd be much appreciative of, you can do it that way through our website or through our P.O. Box. We are also having a fundraiser to buy the trunk items for our girls who are going away to college. And this fundraiser is also the culminating event where we'll be handing out the scholarships. That's going to be June 23rd in Chicago at the Living Room Lounge, which the International Black Summit members might be familiar with since you all held your summit there last summer. It's at that same space. More information about the fundraiser will be forthcoming towards the end of May through paper invitations and electronic invitations. So we'll be soliciting donations towards specific trunk items. And when I say trunk items, I mean things like microwaves, refrigerators, sheets, school supplies, things like that for the girls to take with them when they go away to school. And our girls will be present at the fundraiser. We'll be giving out their scholarship money, and we'll be celebrating the fact that they have graduated and are going on to the next chapter. But thank you for that question. Our supporters have been huge. We wouldn't have been able to continue for as long as we have without them.
Well, I would ask that you also go to our website, www.blacksummit.org, and place those kind of events on our on our website so that our other members from the International Black Summit and or people who are kind of just passing through get the opportunity to see and could support those events.
I will definitely do that. Thank you for that option of publicizing our events through your website. We will, well, I obviously have Henrietta's contact information, so I will work with her to publicize our information.
Great.
Thank you. Back to you, Henrietta.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are having a wonderful conversation with two of the members of Voices International, just a dynamic group of young professionals in Chicago who are giving back to the community. When I put this on the blog talk, on Facebook, I think I put it on my Facebook page, I said, for those of you who say successful black people don't give back, I said, listen to this show and change your words. So I'm like really, really excited and just so grateful to be a part of this group and to, you know, just to see. And we will keep the summit listeners, you know, we'll keep in touch with you as the girls progress. And, you know, like the different wonderful things that I know that they will be doing throughout their college experience. I want to ask Dr. Annabella, who's sitting here with me, do you have any questions or comments?
I just would like to say that I'm impressed with what's going on with the organization and really excited to join and going to keep any change. So I look forward more.
Thank you very much. Were you all able to hear him?
Yes. We appreciate those kind words. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we will, you know, we will make all of these connections. And I just need to take a moment and, you know, let the listeners know that I'm in Huntsville. I'm one of the facilitators of the International Black Summit, and I'm in Huntsville this week spreading the word about the annual event, our 22nd annual event, which is being held in Birmingham, Alabama. And we had a sit-down with Dr. Annabella and his lovely wife this week, and he was just so excited. We talked for 3 hours, I think it was. 3 hours one night. Right, and it was 3 hours. And he's very interested. And we had like three summer shares, one Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. We had a radio spot, WJAB, which is one of the, it's a blues, it was a blues night, and boy, do they play the blues in Alabama. And so we had an opportunity to be on that radio program. And then Friday night, we were at Expansion Books, which is an African-American bookstore right on campus here at Alabama A&M. And we had another wonderful group of people who are very interested in attending. And so we began this week at the Baha'i Center. They hosted our first summer share this week, and then Alabama A&M the second one, and Expansion Books hosted the third one for us. And then we had an opportunity to go to this wonderful concert last night with Eric Dozier and J.B. Echols, who have these CDs out called Badash, and the music is just wonderful and uplifting. So we have had a ball in Alabama this week, and we leave in the morning for Memphis, Tennessee, where we will be at Sister Reach, which is a nonprofit organization that supports reproductive justice for women. And we'll be there tomorrow night with a summit share for the youth. And Glenn Greenidge and Jill Van Leesen will join us via the teleconference, and Keita, who's our main person here, Keita Crump Hampton, who's our main person here in Huntsville, and I will be driving to Memphis in the morning. And tomorrow night at 5, we'll have that youth summit share, and at 6:30, we have an adult summit share scheduled for Memphis. So we invite everyone to go to the website, blacksummit.org, and see when we're having a summit share in your area, or if you want us to have one in your area, just let us know, you know, and we will come and speak to your group about what's going on in Birmingham. But we expect this to be the largest annual event we have ever had. And the people are working, you know, they're just working everywhere on this. Chakaysha left New Orleans about 1:30 today, and she should be in Memphis this evening, sometime this evening. She'll join us tomorrow at that summit share in Memphis. But we are really excited about what's going on. And Glenn, what's going on in New York?
Well, we've got a couple of summit shares and prerequisites happening, coming up pretty soon. So we are keeping it active.
That's good. That's really good. So this has also been a really great week of meeting people, so many wonderful people at Alabama A&M, the professors here. Keita Crump, the father, if you can just hear this story. Keita's father he got 2 degrees from Tuskegee. But not only that, he's from Tuskegee, and he used to deliver newspapers to guess who? George Washington Carver. He was his paper boy, okay? His paper boy. That, you know, I mean, history is amazing around this campus, you know, and the stories they have just been magnificent. Dr. Inangoli told us a story about his arrival into the United States, and oh my God, I just want him, you know, to take, like, if you can tell one of the stories that you shared with us, so the listeners can hear and they can see, like, really what it's like when you make a decision and you stick to that decision.
I don't even know where to start, but I got so many little stories, you know, to tell. I left home, Africa, from a very, very poor family, and I didn't really make it. I had to save my little money to come to the United States, and the opportunity that I have, or I had, to come to the United States, I will never forget that. And when I came here, I drove a cab, I worked at McDonald's, I did everything to go to school. But I went all the way until I got my PhD in foreign languages and literature, and now I got a job here. What I really would like to tell whoever is listening is that, you know, if you strive for the best, you will get there, and keep trying.
And you did it, and we're gonna ask him to come back on another Sunday evening and really go into detail, you know, really details about he and his wife, and you know, just how they met, and oh God, the stories are just wonderful. And how he decided that she needed to go to nursing school. You know, when he said that, we all the women were like, you decided.
Yeah, I decided to go to nursing school, and I paid for it. and I didn't have money. I have to drive a cab so I can support my wife to nursing school. and then on the door of a cab, getting some money, since we didn't have money, I worked two jobs, and then still, she went to nursing school, and then when she graduated, you know, now together, you know, we're doing fine.
And they have a fine, fabulous house, right across the street from Alabama A&M, and so we are so thankful that you drove that cab and you worked at McDonald's. And you,
everything,
right? Yeah. So, thank you.
It's not easy. Life is not easy, but you know, strive for the best always.
Right. Great. Glenn.
Yes.
Glenn.
Yeah, I'm here.
I
just wanted to add in two things. We have a prerequisite in New York City, April 28th. And, of course,
okay.
Henrietta already mentioned the Memphis Summit Share tomorrow night. And we also have two prerequisites in May 5th in Ottawa, Canada. We're going to have three dreads and a ball and a ball head present the Barbershop Conversation, which is going to be a men's prerequisite. Simultaneously, the same organization, three dreads and a bald head, presents the Ottawa Women's Prerequisite. So that both of those prerequisites will be occurring May 5th in Ottawa, Canada. So we truly are all over the planet doing some really wonderful things. So tune in, check out the website, www.blacksummit.org. We've got some information about what's happening and what we're doing, and we invite your other organizations out there to join the International Black Summit website and be able to put your events out there as well, so that we can begin to use that website as a home base for information that's going to be empowering our youth, empowering our citizens, our adults, and different communities around the world who are looking to move themselves forward by economic development, personal empowerment, and community empowerment. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. We have a caller, 504, that I'm looking at and who has their hand up. So my apology for your holding so long. Are you still there?
You talking about me, Henrietta?
Yes, I am. This is Mr. Nuno. He's a regular on our program. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. I just wanted to put my little two cents in that Xavier University in New Orleans has a wonderful pharmacy school. If them girls want to go to pharmacy school down here in New Orleans, there are some scholarships available for them to, you know, to look at or to enroll at Xavier University Pharmacy School. That's all.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you for
all
that.
Right.
Renee? I don't know. She's still... She may have us on mute.
I'm sorry. I'm here. I did have you on mute. I was trying to unmute you. Yes, I heard that. About
okay.
Xavier?
Yeah, Xavier University in New Orleans
has a
wonderful pharmacy school, pharmacy course if you girls want to get involved in pharmacy, because a lot of blacks are getting into it more so than the Vietnamese and the mother people, but... that's what's going on now. Xavier is one of the top-notch pharmacy schools in the nation.
Yes. One of our board members went to Xavier. So she's been a big proponent of that for our mentees. So I think they're definitely aware of the option.
Okay.
So thank you.
All righty.
Great. Well, thank everyone for listening. And, Renee, thank you and Linda and Voices International for the work that you've done. Please put your information on the Black Summit website. Remember, this show is archived, so you can go back and listen to it anytime. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, International Black Summit, and put the date of the show that you'd like to hear, or you can go to blacksummit.org and click on Talk Show, and it will always play the most recent talk show first and then three or four after that. So you can go to blacksummit.org as well to hear. Check the website for all of our upcoming events. Stay tuned to hear where we'll be next week and the week after, because it's countdown to the International Black Summit in Birmingham, Alabama, August 2nd through the 5th. Thank you to Dr. Annenbelly for opening his home to us, and to Voices International. Thank you, Jerry, for the update on the Trayvon Martin case. And Glenn, thank you for being here. Safe travels. Gio and Chakaysha and anybody else who's traveling this weekend. And God bless. We love you and thank you for being here. Good night.